come and drink from the living waters that never run dry, that will satisfy your thirst. And as you drink and as you take in, become full and let that water overflow within and share that water with someone else. Let's stir up the living water. Let it flow through your words. Let it flow through your life. Let it flow through your hands. Let it flow through your actions. Oh, just be an outlet of the living water and let the waters flow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Can we purpose in our hearts tonight to let that water flow through us? Amen. Let's share the water with someone else. And of course, allow yourself to be a conduit to God and take his nature and be a giver. Amen. How many has benefited from giving to God? Amen. Well, when you sow, God will make it grow. Glory to God. Well, you ready for the word this evening? I want you to turn to the book of James, chapter 1. We'll read verses 21 through 27. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So if you're a doer of the word, these are things that you do. All right, you receive the word of God. You hear God's word and you do it. You don't forget what God says. You look into the perfect law of liberty and you continue in it. You do the work. Did you know that when God's word enters your heart, a work has begun? And then your work is simply to carry that word out. All right? So you do the work. Then a doer, you bridle your tongue. How many know your words affect your life? Both positive and negative. So we got to watch what we say. We can't just let our tongue say anything it wants to. The real person on the inside has got to control the organ called the tongue. Right? And then we help orphans. If you're a doer of the word, you help orphans and widows in trouble. And you keep yourself unspotted from the world. Say, I'm a doer. And last week we talked about those who received the word of God. And you know, the Bible says here, be doers of what? Of the word, right? How come it didn't say be doers of what you feel? Or be doers of your emotions? or be doers of the opinions of others, or be doers of what the world says. It doesn't say that, does it? But it gives us something specific of what we're supposed to do. What are we supposed to do? What the Word, W-O-R-D, says. So, when you came into Christ, before you knew Christ, you were governed by your feelings, your emotions, and you did what you felt, right? Whether it was good or bad, you did what you felt. We all did that. But now that we come to Christ, we have a new set of rules to operate in God's kingdom. And now we've got to let the Word of God govern our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And when thoughts come to our mind, you know what? Thoughts are going to come to your mind. Anybody here never have thoughts? You can't prevent thoughts from coming to your mind. But you can certainly do something about those thoughts. And if you recognize a thought that is contrary to God's word, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to arrest it, and you're supposed to tell it you have the right to remain silent. Right? So you're gonna have thoughts that contradict the word of God. But you've got to know the word in order to recognize those thoughts so that they don't dominate your life. Because that's how Satan comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan does not come in standing at your front door saying, "I'm here to steal and kill and destroy today." He comes by making suggestions. Thoughts, suggestions, and, you know, we have to recognize. But we do the word, and in doing the word, we hear what God says. So we got to do what God says. How do we be a good son? By doing what God's word says. How do we be a good daughter? By doing what God's word says. How do we relate to our parents? By doing what God's word says. How do we have the most awesome, incredible marriage ever? By doing what God's word says. How do we increase in our finances? By doing what God's word says. Did you know something about God? God works within his word. God will stand behind his word because he knows that everything he says comes to pass and it doesn't fail. I mean, when he speaks, it happens. So, in order to do God's word, there are some things that we have to observe. Anybody drove here tonight with your eyes closed all the way? See, the very act of driving a car requires us to keep our eyes on the road. You ever notice that if you're driving and you look to the left, the car tends to go to the left, doesn't it? Or if you look to the right, the car tends to go to the right, right? Or if you're looking behind you, you don't know where you're going to go. You've got to keep your eyes on the road. As a Christian, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. All right? Now, when you hear God's word, whether you're listening to it in a message like this tonight, or when you're listening to it on a CD or however, you've got to take what you hear and you've got to transmit it into action. God's word is the raw material, and it comes into your heart and it gets changed and it produces a product. And we've got to transmit God's word into action in our life. That's the only way we're going to experience the benefits of it. Okay? Go with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is one of my all-time favorite characters in the Bible because he brought people into their promises. I relate a lot to Joshua. Because I'm called to bring people into their promises too. So I relate to Joshua. But in Joshua 1:8, God gave Joshua a key to success. Now, how many would like a key to success tonight? Great, because God made copies for everybody. Joshua 1:8. You may have heard this before. I'm sure that you have. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein, how often? Day and night. You know, it's an amazing thing that many times we eat more than we read the word. Uh-oh. Why'd you have to go there, Pastor? Because I have to. Meditate therein day and night. Notice this phrase. That you may observe to what? To do. According to all that is written. Then, only then, shall you make your way prosperous and shall you have good success. So if you want to prosper, if you want to have good success, you've got to speak the word. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Right? You ought to be a word machine. Every one of us ought to be a secretary in God's kingdom, and we ought to take dictation notes. God ought to be able to speak to us, and we ought to be able to take his words and speak them out of our mouth too. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but meditate in it day and night. When you're meditating in something, what are you doing? How many has ever played a part in a play? I've played a part in some plays. It required me to memorize my lines. In order to memorize my lines, what I had to do is I had to read it over and over and over, and I had to speak it over and over and over. And the more I did it, the easier it became for me to memorize it. Isn't it interesting how some actors have to memorize a lot of words, don't they? Because they have to say a lot of words. And they got to know their cue. They got to know when they come in. They got to know, you know, when to transition. But it requires memorization. See, as you meditate on the word, you're looking into it. You're pondering it. You're thinking about it. You're speaking it. You're muttering it. You're going it over and over and over. And something happens when you do that with the word of God. It gets inside of you. And once the word of God gets inside of you, God's power is made manifest. And you start to see God's power work in your life. So Joshua had to observe to do. That word observe, it means to do or to make. It's the Hebrew word also. It means to accomplish or to advance, to become. How many know that you can become what God said? When a sick person hears that they're healed, what can the sick person become? They can be healed. When a poor person hears the gospel, what can they become? Poor no more. Did you know that Jesus said, "This gospel shall be preached to the poor"? Why would the poor need to hear good news? Because how many know if you're poor, you need to hear some good news? Nothing else you've been doing has changed the situation. You might hear something good to change the situation. All right? This word also means to exercise, to bring forth, to be busy, to have a change, to commit, to finish, to follow, to fulfill. These are all action words. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. There's a lot of things in this chapter. So success and prosperity, it follows the people who do what God says. You say, well, what about the wicked that prosper? Once again, if I don't care how much money a person makes, if they don't have Christ, they're poor. And besides, if they don't accept Christ, they can make all the money they want, because in the end, they're going to a place where they can't spend it. Deuteronomy chapter 4, look at verse 1. Now therefore, hearken. That word means listen. Everybody got your ears on? Look at your neighbor and say, got your ears on? Okay, what are we supposed to listen to? Unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them. Why should you listen to God's word? Guess what? Do you realize you cannot act in faith if you don't hear what God says? If you don't hear the Rhema word or the Logos word, you cannot act in faith. What was the basis that gave Peter the right to step out of the boat and walk on water? Jesus' words, right? Jesus, what were Jesus' words? He didn't say a whole lot. He said one word, come. Didn't he? So, because the word spoke that to Peter, actually spoke it to anybody who's in the boat, but it doesn't matter. The word of God went forth, okay? The word was come. So Peter heard that word, and Peter believed it. Why? Because Peter got out of the boat. One word from God, he heard it, and he was able to act on it. And he started walking on water, didn't he? But he took his focus off of the word. And anytime you take your focus off the word, you're going to sink. Okay? Okay? The reason we have to listen to God's word is so that we can do it. And notice what it says. That you may live, go in and possess the land which the Lord your God gives you. So when you hear the word and you do it, it gives you access to go in and to possess it and to live. Simply by hearing God's word and doing what you heard, it gives you the right to possess, to live, and to take what's yours. You can, just hearing God's word gives you the right to do the impossible. It gives you the right to do the unthinkable. Israel, how are you going to get out of Egypt? We're going to walk right through the Red Sea. They didn't know that until they got to the Red Sea. They didn't know what to do. But what did Moses do? He said, God, I don't know what to do. He called on God. And what did he heard a word from God. What was the word? What's in your hand? My staff. Raise it up. He raised it up. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he heard a word from God. He did what he heard. And when he did what he heard, the miraculous manifested. He raised up his staff, and all of a sudden, the Red Sea began to part. Had Moses not heard the word, first of all, if you don't hear God's word, you can't act on it. But once you hear it, you've got to commit to act on it immediately. Okay, verse 2. You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. You ever think about the word command? I thought about it tonight, and something came to me. Two words came to me out of the word command. Come and. When you hear God speak, he gets your attention, right? When he gets your attention, you can come. And when you come to him, and you're going to see him work. So when you hear God's command, it's an authorization for you to come and see what he needs to do. When When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed back for about 4 days. Then he got a command. So he came, and what happened? He stood by the tomb. And he spoke a verbal prayer. He made his prayer verbal. It wasn't for him, it was for the people around Lazarus' tomb so that they heard him. Why? Because faith comes by what?
Hearing,
and hearing by the word of God. Faith can only come by you hearing God's word. If you haven't heard God's word on something, you don't have faith for it. And don't we try to do that all the time? We try to act on what we feel. Or we try to act on the opinions of others. Let's just say, for example, Dave, he gives something to somebody, and then he gets something better in return. So I see what happens to Dave when he gives something. So I'm going to give something because I saw Dave do it. Do I have faith for that? No. Because I'm doing it because I saw Dave do it. God didn't tell me to do it. God didn't specifically tell me that I should do. I can't just do what he did and expect the same results. I got to hear from God for myself. Amen? So if I try to follow Dave's example, although it may be a very good example, I'm going to fall short because I'm doing it because I saw what happened to Dave. But God didn't speak to me. And if God hasn't spoken to me, I don't have faith to do it. Because faith comes by what? And hearing what? You can only have faith for what you hear God speak to you about. So God's word can stand on its own. It's his word. It's the creative and sustaining word. We don't have to add to it, or we don't have to take anything away from it. If God speaks to you a word, don't make it into a sentence. Or if God gives you a sentence, don't condense it into a word. Amen? If God gives you the word, one word, that word has enough power for you to do whatever you need to do with that word. But we don't have to add to it. We don't have to take away from it. God's word is pure. God's word is holy. God's word is powerful. And when he speaks it to you, God entrusts his word to you. Did you know that God trusts you with his word? God will speak to you. His word will speak to you. God will touch your heart. He knows how to communicate to you. He's a master communicator. Go down to verse 3. Remember, in order for you to do, you've got to observe something. For your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. How many have seen some things that God has done? Raise your hand. If you've seen some things that God has done, when you saw something that God did, doesn't it inspire you? Doesn't it energize you? Doesn't it excite you? It makes you want to hear more of what God does. It makes you want to draw closer to God. Okay? Verse 4. But you that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Let me ask you something. Everyone in the wilderness, did they live? Did some die? Why did some die? Because even though they heard what God said, they didn't do what God said. How many know you need to hear what God says and you need to do what God says? Hear it, do it. Hear it, do it, see it. You're not going to see it until you hear it and do it. Because faith deals with the unseen. Let me just give you an example. When Jesus was in the midst of the storm in the boat, he was sleeping. What did he deal with first? When the disciples came to him, what did he deal with first? He dealt with the wind. Can you see the wind? God's word dealt with the invisible. When he spoke to the fig tree, could you see the roots of the tree? He said, let no man eat of you again, ever again, right? But the next day, Peter noticed it dried up from what? The roots. He dealt with the unseen before he dealt with the seen. Faith deals with the unseen. It's the evidence of things not seen. Your body's telling you that you're sick because you've got these symptoms. You've got these pains. You've got these aches. And your body is screaming, you're sick. But God's word says you're healed. Which one are you going to believe, your body or his word? Which one's going to give you the power to change the situation? All right. Verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should what? Do. You come out to VCF on a Wednesday night. Why? Because you want to hear God's word. Why? Because in hearing God's word, faith comes to your heart to act and to change your situation. You came out tonight because you're a doer. Doers do. Hearers hear. And when you hear and do, that's what releases the power. Hearers who hear but don't do never change. Go to Romans 2:13. We're going to come back to Deuteronomy. Go to Romans 2:13. This is a powerful verse. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but who? The doers of the law shall be justified. You know, a person could come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Saturday when there's a special meeting, and they could hear God's word. They could be in the flow where God's word is going forth. They could hear what's being said. They could hear what's being preached. They could hear it over and over again, but until they do it, nothing's going to happen. Until they take what they hear and do it. You know, if you're feeling weak, what does the Bible say the weak should say? But when you're weak, we don't want to say we're strong. Why? Because we're listening to our feelings above the Word of God. I remember the story that Brother Hagin told when he had gotten healed. He spent about 18 months in bed, paralyzed. He had a deformed heart, incurable blood disease. But when he got healed, he was like 70 pounds. He was very skinny. And it was around the time of the Depression. Jobs were scarce, but he got a job transplanting young peach trees. And here comes this scrawny, skinny boy on the job site. And this is rough work. You got to pull the trees out of the ground. You got to carry them from one place to another. It takes effort. It takes energy. It takes muscles. He just got healed. He's a scrawny, skinny boy. He shows up 70 pounds dripping wet. But you know, he made a commitment in his heart. The whole while he's going to the job site, he's declaring, "The Lord is the strength of my life. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." He's saying the weak should say, "I'm strong." He's saying he's strong even though his body is saying he's weak. And you know what? He outlasted some of the big burly guys that were on that job. Why? He did it supernaturally. He was declaring God's word over his situation. And, you know, when you hear God's word and you receive it, it goes into your heart. And it gives you the strength to do what it says. And when you do what it says, in spite of how you feel or the opinions of others or anything else, God's power is released in that situation. So it's the doers of the word that are blessed. Not just the hearers. You remember when Abraham, he had a situation arise with Lot. There was strife. What does that mean? Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen were arguing, fighting, they were bickering, they were disputing. Because they had grown so much that the land where they were couldn't hold the both of the herds. Can you imagine having so many sheep and so many cows that the land that you're on can't contain all of them because God has increased you so much? And so there was this strife. Now, Abraham was learning how to walk with God. God spoke to him. Abraham heard him. Abraham obeyed him. Abraham did what he heard, right? Leave your home. Did he argue about God with that? What did he do? He left. When God says leave, leave. Right? When God says cleave, cleave. And Abraham had to pass this test if he wanted to experience increase. How many know, when you go to other levels, you're going to have to face challenges that are in the form of tests. So this was a strife test that Abraham had to face. How many know, what's God's attitude about strife? Do not allow it. Have a zero tolerance for strife. Because in James 3, the Bible tells us that with strife comes every evil work. So God knows if strife is happening, you're giving place to the devil, and he can come and steal, kill, and destroy. So Abraham did something that was not normal. Abraham was the uncle of Lot. Lot was his nephew. You're supposed to obey your elders. He could have told Lot where to go. But Abraham's faith was in God, not in Lot, not in circumstances. His faith was in God. And he told Lot, he said, okay, Lot, wherever you choose, I'll go the opposite way. Can you imagine Abraham giving Lot the ability to choose? That's what you call faith. And that's what you call love. So Lot chose what he thought was the best. And we know, because we know the story, that he didn't make the right choice. What he chose was a whole heap of trouble that he didn't see. But because Abraham had his faith in God, Abraham walked away. He wasn't down. He wasn't complaining. He said, we don't read Abraham's kicking the sand. Why did I let him decide? I should have just told him where to go. He didn't do that. Because how many know that's not how faith acts? Did you know that faith doesn't have a bad attitude? Faith trusts in God. So he's walking away. Then God speaks to him. And he says, Abraham, I want you to look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And I don't even know if those directions are right, but I covered all directions. What did God say to Abraham? He could have everything he what? He saw. Abraham got the greater blessing. Lot was narrow-minded. He only got what he saw in one direction, but Abraham got what he saw in every direction. Because when you observe God's word, to observe it means to do it. Okay? If you see it, you can do it. If you see it, you've heard it. How many have you've been sitting under the word, all of a sudden something clicks, like, I never saw that before, but I see it, I see it. Remember like how Jack Coe got saved? Hot dog, I got it. Something happens when you see the truth of God's word. The woman with the issue of blood, she heard Jesus, and she drew close enough to him to see him. And she was able to touch him. And in doing that, she got her miracle. You know, the Bible tells us to not be a forgetful hearer. You know what forgetfulness is? Forgetfulness is misplaced vision. It means you're looking at the wrong thing. See, if you don't want to be a forgetful hearer, how do you not forget things? Tell me some things of what you do to not forget things. Write it down. Because when you write it down, you can see it. Thank God for notes on a phone. I don't know how many times I've gotten a thought and I write it on my phone for later reference. Because more than likely, I'm going to forget it because I don't have a photographic memory. So writing it down helps me. Writing it down allows you to see it. And if you forget what God said, I can look at it. Or I can play it. If it's recorded, you can play it. Do you realize I still have a tape from Pastor Mark Strickland when I was there and he spoke a prophetic word over me? I've listened to it over the years several times. I could almost recall it by heart because I've listened to it so much. And I remember he pointed right at me and he began to speak by the Spirit of God. And I received everything that he said. He said, I'm not docking you. He said, you're in the right place. Keep growing, keep on going. He said, and the anointing shall increase, shall increase, shall increase. That's just the gist of it. I remember that, and that was years ago. Why? When God speaks to you, you don't want to be a forgetful hearer, because if you forget it, you can't do it. You've got to keep it in the forefront of your mind. That's why the Bible says, write it on your hand, write it on the frontlets of your eyes, write it on your door, write it on your gates. We did this. From the moment that my mother-in-law came to our house, if you were to come to our house, you will see scriptures on poster board on the wall, in our kitchen, in our living room, in different places. Why? Because we went on the offensive. Yeah, we were under attack, but then we launched a counterattack with the Word of God, with the sword of the Spirit. My mother-in-law has been through 6 treatments of chemo. She's never missed a church service. She's strong. She's here. She's vibrant. Why? Because cancer was beat the day it showed up. And we're just enforcing the victory. You got to enforce the victory with the Word of God. You've got to declare it. You've got to hear it. You've got to do it. You've got to live it. You've got to put it in motion. If you're laying down and God says arise, you better get to your feet. Why? Because he's about to do something and he needs you to get into a certain position to receive what he's about to do. If you don't hear what he says, you can't get into the right position. You'll miss what he has for you. Forgetfulness is just simply misplaced vision. We're supposed to turn from our sin and turn to God's word. When we sin, we don't have a sin nature, but we still have flesh that's unregenerate. We got this flesh that we live in. Two-thirds of us are saved. Well, no, I'm sorry, one-third, because our mind has to be what? Renewed. How often does our mind have to be renewed? Every day. We still have a mind that has tendencies And we still have a body that's unregenerate. Our mind has to be renewed. Our body has to be subdued. But the real you, you've already been made new. And when Jesus comes again, we're going to become three-thirds better. Because we're going to get glorified bodies. We're going to get the other two-thirds fixed just like that. But until that time, we've got to hear God's word. We've got to receive it into our hearts, and we've got to do God's word. Whatever God says. And God says a lot of words. This is a lot of words. 1189 chapters. And the way to, you got to keep looking to it, keep referring to it, keep talking about it, so that you can keep doing it. I have so many scriptures in Deuteronomy that I just can't get to all of them because of time. Did you know that by hearing God's word, you learn to reverence, respect, and honor him? The more you hear his word, the closer you can get to him. His word is the primary way that he reveals himself to us. His word was meant to be performed. It's meant to be done. Jesus was the living word. He was the word made flesh. Think of Jesus as a Bible in a body. All right? And he walked this earth. He was the one true Bible man. Because he was perfect. He had the spirit without measure. And he had no sin. So his authority was the highest authority. I mean, when the word spoke to a layman, and he would say, pick up your bed and walk. Well, he said it in such a way that the layman could hear it, right? And if the layman heard it and received it, then what was the layman to do other than get up and walk? What are we going to do? Jesus, we have 5,000 men for dinner, not including women and children. Well, what do we have? Well, we have this two-piece fish dinner from Long John Silver's. Bring it to me. Instructions. They did what Jesus said. How many know you don't have to understand what he says, you just have to do what he says? See, if you try to figure out why God is saying what he's saying, you're going to miss it. You can't operate by faith and reason at the same time. You got to trust God so much. You got to know his character. You got to know that when he speaks, he stands behind every word. He empowers every word. Every word has life. Every word is spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And all we have to do is just do what he says. Just do it. Don't argue about it. Don't reason about it. Don't even think about it. Just do it. Just do what God says do. Be quick to act. Faith without corresponding action is dead. If you're sick, and all you talk is sickness, and you never talk healing, then you're not going to get healed. You got to talk healing. You got to think healing. You got to act as if you are healed. I mean, Lazarus was dead for 4 days until he heard God's voice. And once he heard God's voice, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus went. Why did he have to hop? Because he was tied up. He had to hop out of that grave. If a dead man can act on God's word, how much more can a live person act on God's word? Listen, don't let Lazarus outdo you. He was dead. You're still alive. We've got no excuses. Amen? But we got to be doers, not just hearers. I've been in church for 20 years. I know that. Yeah, if you know it, then why aren't you doing it? See, listen, if you really were doing it, you wouldn't act that way. You'd be excited about it. We're talking about kingdom. God came to give us a kingdom. And his kingdom operates differently than this world. And if we want his results, we got to do things his way. Amen? You cannot increase financially without being a giver. It doesn't work. And you got to listen to the Holy Spirit. He's the best financial advisor ever. He's amazing. You know what? If you have a Bible with you, I just want you to lift up your Bible. If you have it with you. I don't care if it's electronic version, that's fine. And just hold it close to your heart. And say this, say, Father, I love your word. I love hearing your word. Oh, as I listen to your word, it spurs me to action. I will do what you say. I can have what you say I can have. I will possess what you say I can possess. Your word is truth to me. Your word is life to me. Your word is health to me. I love your word. I love acting on your word. I love doing what you say. And I have your results. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, we got to love the word so much that when the minute he speaks, we just need to act. Just practice putting his word into action in little things. Amen. Little things. Teenagers, you got to fall in love with the Word of God. You got to fall in love with God's Word. What does that mean? That means you got to read it, you got to hear it, you got to study it, you got to be around it. It's got to get in you. If you want the Word of God to change your life, it's got to get in you. And the only way for it to get in you is to meditate in it day and night. That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Why don't you stand up with me? I'm going to ask you a question. And there's one response to that question. And I believe that when you answer that question with all your heart and all your soul, see, you're going to make a connection to God, and God's, when you make a connection to God, God then needs your cooperation. How many know that you can't have miracles unless you connect to God and you cooperate with him? What do I mean by cooperating? You carry out his commands. You make a connection to God by hearing. But then your cooperation is doing something with what you heard immediately. All right? Don't even let your brain have time to think about it. Peter didn't even think about what he was doing when he got out of that boat. That layman didn't think about getting up. He just did it, right? So the question is this. Will you fully commit to God's word? And I want you to answer that question with everything that's within you. I want you to shout it out, that answer. Will you commit to God's word fully with your whole heart, your whole soul, and everything within you? And if you answer yes, I just want you to celebrate for a moment by praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. I believe the Holy Ghost is stirring you up on the inside in the name of Jesus. God's saying, yes, now I've been freed to work in your life like I want to, like I desire to. All I need is your commitment. Hallelujah. Woo! You just untied God's hands. Now the angels are loose to work on your behalf. Hallelujah. Some of our angels have been unemployed because of what we say. Uh-oh. Huh. It's time to employ those unemployed angels. How do you do that? They respond to God's word. Amen? You got to become skillful in wielding that sword of the Spirit. You got to be like a spiritual samurai. You know, you can cut your enemy to pieces. You can block his advances. You got to be skillful. Years ago, someone gave me this Bible. You got to become skillful in using this sword. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And if you encounter the enemy, you got to know how to use your sword. Amen? And if you're not into swords, then think of yourself as a gun. Your tongue is the trigger. Your heart is the chamber. And the Word of God is your ammunition. And take careful aim. When you shoot a gun, you don't just go like this. You got to take aim. You got to look. You got to be specific. So that you can hit the target. I feel like God's taking us to a deeper level of His Word tonight. Tonight, you're going to love the Word more than you ever have. And you're going to find the richest and best treasures tonight. As you do some drilling or some digging or some excavating, God's going to show you something that you didn't know before. You're going to call upon Him and He's going to speak to you and show you something that you never knew before. And it's going to change your life. It's going to change the course. It'll bring you from poverty to plenty. It'll bring you from the pit to the palace. It'll bring you from darkness to light. It'll bring you from being empty to being full. It'll bring you from being sick to being healed. It'll bring you from being dumb to being wise. The Word of God. Because we're doers of the Word. See yourself as a doer of the Word. When you get up and you're getting ready for your day tomorrow, you look in the mirror and say, now there's a handsome or a good-looking doer of the Word of God. Don't just sit here and don't rely on me to bring you into your understanding. You study it out for yourself. I mean, babies drink milk for a while, but eventually they start eating other things. It's time for you to grow up spiritually. You don't have to be spoon-fed. Oh, Father, we give you thanks and praise tonight. Lord, that your word has gone forth into these hearts. Lord, these are ready listeners. Father, their heart, their tongues are the pen of a ready writer. God's about to rewrite the script of your life. He's about to change some scenarios that you found yourself in. He's about to rewrite it, and you're going to have the victory. You're going to have the success. You're going to be the overcomer. You're going to be the hero that God's called you to be. He's going to rewrite some things tonight. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory for who you are and what you're doing in us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Does this help you tonight?